We thank God for the praise team. I could see you moving back and forth. It's great to be able to know that every praise is not unto another individual, but to our God and our God only. Let's go to the Word of God. Excited certainly about the Word. I want to thank at the onset this production team, my family members who helped to put this broadcast together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's a word from the Lord that comes from the Gospel of Mark. Fourth chapter, and gospel we always say means good news. Mark 4, 37, and we'll read through verse number 41. I've allowed you to cheat by putting it on the screen. You can always get your word. That way you can mark up your Bible, highlight your Bible, and during the course of the week, you may need that word to get you over a situation in life. Mark 4, 37, all the way through verses number 41. It reads, "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus said, or was in the stern rather, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' Verse 39 says, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet. Be still.' Then the wind died and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this?' Even the wind and the waves obey him." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Storm Chaser. Storm Chaser. We've seen them on the air. They are people who certainly go after storms. They look for the most severe weather, get in their vehicles, and they try and chase down a storm. God bless them. Where I'm from, you run from the storm. But they're trying to capture a photograph. They're trying to capture a video to share. They are storm chasers. But beyond what we see in the atmosphere, beyond the physical, there are spiritual and emotional storms. The old saints would say, either you're in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're about to go into a storm. Now, you may say, well, hold on for a second. Let me tell you my testimony. Hold that testimony. But many of you who are watching and listening today, you have experienced what a storm is all about. It's when life situations seemingly come out of nowhere and you are challenged by your faith. Well, I stopped by to announce that I know someone who is a successful storm chaser. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. His long-range forecast goes beyond 7 days. It goes beyond 20 days. He has a divine connection from glory. He knows what life has before us. And you know, the Bible says in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and those that dwell therein. Aren't you glad he's the one who owns the earth and that he made you and I as well? In our text today, it is Mark 4. And Jesus at this point, because he's holy man and holy God, has already had a long day at this point. He's had confrontations with the Pharisees. These are religious leaders who did nothing but criticize him. You know anybody like that? That their main goal is to tell you what you're doing wrong. Or y'all know somebody like that. Well, Jesus in his earthly ministry had to deal with that as well. And on top of that, it was a day to where his friends and family had come to him and tried to kidnap him. They thought he had lost his mind. Jesus, your family is here. They want you to come out. He says, who is my mother? Who is my family? I'm about the work of the Lord. He spent the balance of that day teaching the people, and Jesus enjoyed teaching the people the word of God. And how he taught was in the form of parables, that is, earthly stories with heavenly meaning. Aren't you glad that you can sit around, you think about your ancestors, and they would tell you a story, and it would certainly catch your attention, Jesus would take things that were happening in the community and use them as an example. And get this, even though pastors can't be in their pulpits in the physical, that Jesus had a pulpit on a boat, that basically he always had an outdoor service. He always had people who were around. A lot of them were not even close to the water, and he was already practicing what it meant to have distance. But his pulpit was there on the boat. But because he is holy man and holy God, he is tired and he wants to get away. I love the humanity of Christ. He says to his disciples, let's get on the boat and go to the other side. That's a nugget alert. Let's get on the boat and head to the other side. And these disciples, keep in mind, they were no rookies. They knew about the sea. They knew about fishing. They knew what it meant to be on the water. They made their living on the water. But this storm would change their lives. But here's the good news, that Jesus was on board. But no sooner had he got on board, I told you he had a long day, he fell asleep there in the rear of the boat. The old saints would say there in the hinder part. And this, I believe, was a real power nap, because it said what? He had a cushion as he did this. Much like those disciples, we're going to learn three things: the power of the storm, the problem of the storm, and the purpose of the storm. Let's begin with the power of the storm. Verse 37 says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat. Now keep that in mind, so that it was nearly swamped. The boat was getting ready to sink, but Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, teacher, do you not care if we drown? Storms can be very predictable. There are persons I know who are watching who may have spent time in the Holy Land, who've been on the Sea of Galilee. A friend of mine told me, man, I had breakfast on the Sea of Galilee. But this body of water could do some unpredictable things. Something could break out at the moment. And that's what happened. But, you know, life is that way. Storms do not give us an alert and say, hey, there's a storm coming. But in life, storms will come. They will challenge us. We don't know what happens from one moment to the next. In fact, the bottom may even drop out of our lives. You ever had the bottom to drop out? The things fall apart and there you are with the remains of your life. And you're saying, God, I need you in my life because this storm has chased me to an uncomfortable place. But the good news is Jesus was on board. Even though this storm may be chasing, you never forget who it is. Who is the number one passenger on board? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about this as I was preparing this word. I said, give me a sleeping Jesus any day over an awake person. I don't care. You could be awake, sharp, but I'll take a sleeping Jesus because I know when he wakes up what he can do. Those disciples woke him up and they said, teacher, do you not care that we are about to drown? I mean, water was coming very quickly and they wanted to reach him. They knew where to go. And sometimes in our storms, we forget that Jesus is just one prayer away. We forget. We try everything else. We Google things. We look for information, but we do not go and wake up Jesus. He knows what to do. He is the one who can deal with our situation. He has the power to help us to overcome. Acts 1:8 says what? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. There's the power of the storm. There's also the problem of the storm. Verse number 39 says, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. You may say, Reverend, that was just a front, you know, but your storm is a problem. But aren't you glad that you know the problem solver? Jesus got up. Uh-oh. He got up. And when he got up, he spoke to the problem. He addressed the storm. And this is what came out to me. It says, he rebuked the wind. In other words, he reprimanded and scolded the wind. And that's what he will do to the problems and the storms in our life. And then it says, he said to the winds, quiet, be still. But now the way this is written, he didn't say it like that. There was an exclamation mark, which means he turned the volume up, all but shouted and says, quiet, be still. And they had to obey him. He is telling the storms and the winds of life and in your situation to do what? To be still. And these disciples had witnessed a lot of things. They'd seen Jesus heal the sick and give sight to the blind, but they'd never seen this. They had never seen this kind of storm come up and have Jesus on board to address this problem. Psalm 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Yes, problems will come, but never forget that Jesus is that close. And when he speaks to a situation, it has to obey. Finances, quiet, be still. Sickness, quiet, be still. Hush up. He will do that in our lives. He will tell those situations that we've been trying for years to get over. He just speaks after he got up from his nap. Isn't that amazing? But it's not just the problem of the storm and not just the power of the storm, but also the purpose of the storm. Verses 40 and 41, he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Jesus speaks to them directly. He raised an important question. Why are you so afraid? Now, before you point the finger at those disciples, let's be honest. There are situations and storms in lives that cause us to shake in our boots. And do you get afraid? Oh, I know you're big and bad, but you get afraid and you shake. And I think of what Paul said to Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But those moments will come. All these guys knew is that we're about to die. And so he challenges them. The purpose is to challenge their faith. He wanted to know, do you still have no faith? That tells me they talked about this before. That there have been situations that he had to pull them up as he's pulled us up about faith. He says, is this still faith 101? He pulls them up and says, why are you so afraid? It was a 1-2 punch. And Jesus is asking the same question in the middle of our storm. Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith? Hebrews says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. They'd not seen anything like that before. They were afraid, but they were impressed at the same time and ask each other, who is this? Would you get on the boat with somebody you didn't know? They must have known it was Jesus, but they said, we've not seen this kind of power before. Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? What manner of man is this? That was my mother's favorite song. What manner of man? What kind of man is this that can do all of that? He's able to chase our storms away. I said to you earlier that it was a nugget alert. And that was that when Jesus spoke to them before they got on the boat, he said to them, let's go over to the other side. In other words, he already knew they were going to get over. He already knew what was going to happen. He's never caught by surprise. He's saying to you and I today, let's go to the other side of your storm. Let's go to the other side of your challenge, the other side of your worry, the other side of what you're going through. He says, we're going to get through the storm. Let's look at the other side when you're coming out of the storm. Have you ever been in a storm and you witnessed the Lord bringing you out and giving you a testimony? I'm so glad today he's done that. As we sail the sea of life, we need to make sure that Jesus is in the boat. Now, I love that nursery rhyme. You know, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. Life is more than a dream. Life is reality. When it comes to dealing with the things of Christ, it is our reality to count on the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ in our storm, to count on his peace, to count on his joy, to count on his love in the midst of the storm chasing us. Let's turn back and chase the storm. I believe this sense of love is so important. The Bible says, for God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us there on the cross. And sometimes he sends the storms. They've got to get it to mission to educate us, to build our trust in him. Sometimes storms come along for that very purpose. Storms will grow us up. I love what the hymn says, be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you in the midst of your storm. But here's what's key. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no shortcuts. We must come to him and to repent of our sins, to turn from the ways that do not please him. And he is speaking to all of us that it's time to repent from our sins, to turn from that which does not please him. And today, he will do that for you. It's not just about your storm. He will bring you through. So, you are a storm chaser. That storm that's been chasing you around, stop, flat-footed, look to the hills and what's coming to your help and say, you know what? I'm about to chase you because of who I have on board. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. I want to invite you today, no matter what your condition, to just come just as you are. Our praise team. And that's the invitation today. Don't worry about trying to fix up and get your life together. And you've heard the old saying, well, give me a little bit more time. I got to stop doing this and stop doing that. The Lord wants you to come just the way you are. Well, It is a fourth Sunday of the month, and it is our time that we observe Holy Communion. So perhaps today, if you missed the top of the broadcast, even now get your elements. We were able to certainly see many persons on yesterday from the Harvest Church. We kept our distance, and we praised God under the mask as they came by to pick up their communion. But you may have in your home bread, which represents the body of Jesus. You may have a beverage of sorts, which represents his blood. So even now, we're going to do this virtually because this is a reminder. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the sacrifice that you made on that old rugged cross and for shedding your blood. And so we come today to remember your word says, for as often as we do this, you show forth your death and suffering till you shall come again. Amen. If you have your elements available, you can always join us today. So the Bible says that on that night that Jesus was betrayed, that he was with his disciples. And so he took the bread and he broke it and gave it to them and says, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat ye all of it. We do as they did. Amen. And then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, this is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. Amen. We do as they did. So we thank God for you today, and we pray that you've been blessed. Just some things to certainly update you on what's happening in the body of Christ. I want to emphasize again our prayer closet. It's an opportunity and a chance for you to send us your prayer requests at contact@cometoharvest.org, and we'll be praying for you. We've already gotten a few in, but know that as you pray for us, we want to be praying for you as well. And there may be some of you who've not gotten updates. We try to hit you not too often to let you know through many different platforms of things that are happening in the life of the church to keep you updated. And we want to let you know that you can go to our site and you'll find everything you need there. We're trying to maximize this to the glory of God. Thanks to each of you who've given online to this ministry. To God be the glory. We thank you who said, you know what, I'm just going to do U.S. postage, mail. Praise God. We thank you. We know that as you are faithful to God, he remains faithful to you as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. Again, we love you in the Lord, and we just want to thank you for joining us today. I want to thank you for being here. Take the opportunity even now to share this sermon, this service, in fact, with someone else. So share it with them and say, listen, I want to just share that with you. We share funny videos, but let's share the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. From the entire production team at Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland, I'm Pastor Tim Tooten, the founder and pastor of Harvest Christian Ministries, praying for a safe Memorial Day weekend. And let somebody know, child, I was in a storm. I'm out now. I'm about to go in, but I got my gear. But most of all, I've got my Savior. To God be the glory. Have a blessed day in the Lord.